You're listening to the best of Talkin' Sports with Byron, an on-demand audio presentation of RedPeachSports.com and ESPN977.com.
That's right. Thunder, baby. Appropriate day for it outside here at the Coldwell Banker Group 1 Realty Studios in West Monroe. No thunder, but there might as well be. There's plenty of rain. It's coming down out there sporadically, but coming down nonetheless. Welcome to the program. We're going to pretend that it's a bright, sunshiny day here in the West Monroe Studios. Good afternoon, Mr. John Tabor.
Hello.
Busy morning for you so far, right?
Yes.
But a good one. Nothing like a nice spring day to get back into football. Both ULM and Louisiana Tech having their spring games today. A lot going on for you here on the program today. We've got a full lineup. We've got a guest every segment. Lots to talk about. We've got lots of high school action. The LHSAA softball playoff brackets being released. A lot of area schools, a lot of North Louisiana schools in the Fast Pitch 56. In fact, let's go ahead and get to the starting lineup for today's show right now. That would be the lineup card. Got to remember what season we're in here. We're going to announce today's lineup card. Brought to you by Katie's of Monroe. Love that organ music at the ballpark. Absolutely. So leading off the program today, we're going to have Zach Green with Car King. He'll tell us what's hot on the lot.
Like, you could brag a little bit.
Well, if you're trying to distract the opposing pitcher, a guy could put, like, two boobs or, like, some, you know, something that the pitcher might start staring at instead of paying attention. And there's any number of ways. And the thing that's interesting is, you know, obviously the MLB has to pay attention, right? It can't be something that's paid for. You can't put something like a marijuana leaf or something that, you know what I mean? I'm sure that they're going to be in charge of regulating whether it's something allowed or not.
What about the poop emoji?
I'll say, like, it might be something yogurt. That they don't actually know what it means.
It's probably a lot of that.
I actually played on
like
a kickball
the frozen
team.
Yogurt emoji.
Exactly. I played on a kickball team in California, and there was a story in the LA Times about our adult kickball team, and it used our name throughout, which was a euphemism for a sex act on like a Urban Dictionary. But they didn't know that that's what it meant. So it repeatedly used our name throughout the article, not realizing that it was one of those terms. And I don't want to say it on the air because we'll get in trouble, but it starts with dirty something and starts with an S after that. So anyway, and they had no.
Welcome back to the program. Had a little technical difficulty there. Lost our connection. Sorry about that, but let's get back to today's starting lineup. We have heard our lineup music. We'll be in the first section. We'll have Cody Futrell from the New Star talking high school baseball and softball and the Fast Pitch 56. Second position, whatever. Softball coach, Ruston High School softball coach Katie Giese talking about her Lady Bearcats. In the third spot, Ruston High School golf coach Chris Rathburn talking about his Bearcats on the links. Following that, we're scheduled to have Dr. Douglas Brown, Monroe orthopedic surgeon, talking about his football playing days at Duke University. In the sixth segment today, we're going to have our initial episode of What's Up or Where Are They Now section. That'll be Jamie Johnson, former West Ouachita High School baseball player who played several years in the minor leagues. Then Jonesboro Parish Parks and Recreation Director Tommy Smith, followed by Sean Williams of ProFootballSpot.com. But on the line right now, our leadoff segment, What's Hot on the Lot with Zach Green of Car King. Zach, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
We're great. Not as sunshiny as it has been, but still a great day for car buying. Zach, tell us, what's hot on the lot today?
Today we have a 2011 Ford Ranger extended cab, V6, automatic, power windows, power locks, and I'm going to sell that truck today for $12,300. Also have a 2014 Volkswagen Passat, 40,000 miles. I can sell that car today for $11,995. Also have a 2013 Ford Fusion, one owner, 70,000 miles, power windows, power lock. I can do that car today for $10,500. That's what's hot on the lot.
That sounds great. Now, always a good time when people are going out. You know, we've got a lot of baseball and softball action. We've got the high school softball fast pitch 56 getting ready to get underway. So if people leave just a little bit early, they can run down Louisville and come see what you got. All the cars you have on the lot.
That's right. I can save some money on the lot and in gas. A little gas saver for the road trip.
Absolutely. Well, where can we get to you? How can we get to you?
I am at 12 Louisville Avenue. Also, you can call me at 318-330-9285 or check us out on our website at carkingmonroe.com.
All right. Well, Zach, as always, appreciate you for coming on the program. Appreciate your partnership with our broadcast, and hopefully, people can let you know that they heard about you on Talking Sports when they come in to buy one of those cars.
Absolutely, guys. I appreciate y'all. Y'all have a good weekend.
All right, you too, buddy. All right, so that was Zach King with Car King. Car King, the sponsor of the show's hotline, Car King Hotline. Give us a call at 888-993-7762. Let us know about your fast pitch 5016 that is in the playoffs. You can reach out to us on our text line, the Pulpwood Producers text line, also at 888-993-7762. Reach out to us via Twitter. We're always checking that during the show. The Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed at TSports977FM. So we've got a lot to get to. We went through the lineup today. We've got high school softball. We've got high school golf. We've got Jackson Parish Parks and Recreation Director Tommy Smith. We've got some Saints talk to get to. We've got our initial segment of What's Up. That's our Where Are They Now segment of the program. We talked about it last week. We were scheduled to start that segment last week. You need to reach out to us with people that you want to find out about. Where are they now? Whether they went to Grambling, Tech, ULM, any of our area high schools. Let us know who you want to find out about, and we'll effort to get that done. All right, so we've got our opening segment done. We're going to talk some Saints schedule today as well when we get an opportunity for that. Lot going on with that. We're going to talk Dallas Cowboys schedule. No, we're not. But the NFL schedule has been released. I do know that the NFL draft is coming up in 2 weeks, just under 2 weeks now, and we've got a lot to talk about there. We'll get with Sean Williams on that. But first, we're going to take our first break here today on the program. You're listening to Talkin' Sports on ESPN 97.7 FM. We'll be right back. program, Talkin' Sports, on ESPN 97.7 FM. We are brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana. This hour brought to you by Gina Eubanks Allstate Insurance in Ruston and Minden. Gina Eubanks, agency owner since 1995. We have our next guest ready to go. Old Faithful himself, Cody Futrell of the New Star. Cody, thanks for joining the program again.
No problem, guys. Good to be on.
Absolutely. So not quite as nice a day out there for watching some softball and baseball, but still a good day to get out and watch our area teams. Before we get into the Fast Pitch 56, tell us about area high school baseball this week.
Yeah, there's been some changes to the schedule today for people that are going out to games that just happened here within the last hour or two. For softball playoffs, Bastrop was scheduled to host St. Michael's of Baton Rouge today at 3 o'clock. That game has been moved to tomorrow at 3 p.m. Because of wet field conditions, and a game that they have been trying to play for a couple of days now. The first game of the two-game series between West Washita and Neville Baseball is still scheduled to go on tonight at West Washita tonight at 6 o'clock, and those guys will finish up that series at Neville tomorrow at 3 p.m.
Okay. So that's what's going on in baseball now. Our Fast Pitch 56, the brackets were released for all classes yesterday, and a lot of our area teams, a lot of North Louisiana teams in the playoffs. Let's start with 5A, where I believe we have, was it four or five of our teams in there?
Yeah, I believe we have three area teams, I believe. I'm pulling up the brackets right now as I got a little computer slow down here. But
Washita is the number three seed, yes.
Yeah, we've it was a good year in softball in 5A as for all of our area teams, and let's start of course with the Washita Lady Lions. Great year that they have had, and they earned the number three seed in 5A. They're going to be taking on Como in the first round. Interesting enough, right there with them is West Monroe at number 14. They're going to host Airline at 6 o'clock. On Monday at that Washita game. They'll host Como at 5:30 on Monday. Airline and West Monroe play at West Monroe at 6 o'clock on Monday. If West Monroe and Washita are successful in their first-round home games, they would meet at Washita in the second round is the way the brackets kind of lined up there. So interesting the way that it kind of shook out. Is also Ruston is lower down on the bracket, but they're on that same side as well. They're the 15 seed. They get a home game as well against number 18, Dutchtown. Such a strong district. Pineville and Alexandria, always the powerhouse teams that they also, of course, in the playoffs. That's a really, really strong district, 2-5A, and all of those guys are going to have first-round home games. Ruston and Dutchtown, that game will be played, looks like, Monday at 5 p.m.
Yeah, all three of our area teams on the same side of the bracket. So if they meet, it will have to be before the championship game, so no chance in that happening. Our next segment, after you, Ruston High School coach Katie, it's either, I don't know if it's Geese or Geis, will be on, so we'll be talking with her. So she, trying to get the details, yeah, won't stay up there, but they're 13-11 as the 15 seed. Now, Washita, we've talked about them multiple times on the program. They finished 21-5 and went 9-1 at home, so very strong showing this season for the Lady Lions of Washita High School, earning the number three seed.
Right, very experienced team. They won the cup. They're just a couple years removed from winning the state championship, and they got tripped up in the second round by a district foe, Alexandria, last year. Could be in that same situation again where they have a second-round home game against another district foe, West Monroe, if they both win in the first round. So we'll be keeping an eye on those Lady Lions.
Absolutely. Now we go down to the 4A bracket. Again, a lot of North Louisiana teams in there, and several of our teams. I know Minden's out of your coverage area, but they're still in our listening area. So Minden and Bastrop, you may have them closer in front of you there, but we got West Washita, Minden, Bastrop, Franklin Parish, Neville.
And Neville. Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. So those, tell us a little bit about those teams.
Yeah, West Ouachita, they're the number two seed. They have really had a strong year this year. Once again, I believe they're looking to go to the Fast Fish 56 tournament for the eighth straight year. They're going to be hosting Edna Carr on Tuesday at 4 p.m. That's a 2 against a 31 seed. Also on that same side of the bracket, you mentioned Minden. They're the number 30 seed. They have to tall task as they travel Monday at 4:30 to number 3 Cabrini down in New Orleans. The game that we just talked about being rescheduled, Bastrop was supposed to play today against St. Michael. Bastrop, the 6th seed, will host St. Michael tomorrow, number 27 St. Michael, at 3 p.m. tomorrow at Bastrop. And then on the other side of the bracket, you know, all of our local teams did not get on the same bracket in 4A, so they're kind of spread out across it. Neville is the number 5 seed. They will play at home on Monday at 6:30 against St. Martinville. And Franklin Parish is the 29 seed, travels to Leesville at 3 p.m. That game, as far as I know, is still scheduled to go on today, starting at 3 p.m. You know, good representation across the board. Got teams on both sides of the bracket. So, you know, still, as a lot of people would love to see, still a chance of an all-Northeast Louisiana final if some teams can kind of play the cards that they're dealt so well and have some things happen for them. Still that chance of that with two teams on the left-hand side and then three teams on the right-hand side of the bracket.
Absolutely. And that's what we always want to see. We always want to see our area teams meeting up for the championship. That way we're guaranteed to bring a trophy back to North Louisiana. Now moving on to 3A, several teams there.
Yeah, you're going to see several area teams in the playoffs in 3A. Caldwell Parish is number 7. They're going to host Mansfield, number 26 seed, Monday at 6 o'clock. Also, from our area, Winfield, number 5 seed, is going to host Church Point at 20 as the 28 seed. That game time still hasn't been set yet. Looking through the bracket here, you're going to have, I think this is probably a little bit outside of our coverage area, but I know some people probably have some family down there in that area. Jennings, as the 23 seed, is going to be going on the road to Buckeye. That's two district foes, I believe, meeting up in the first round. We got a couple of teams, a couple of top 10 teams here in the area in Winfield and Caldwell. And Caldwell has had a very strong program for a long time in softball and trying to catch that the wave that they've been on to see if they can ride it all the way to the Fastest 56, which they haven't been to in a while. So it'd be good to see those girls kind of break through this year. And I know that Winfield also has a really strong team. So two area teams here, two Northeast Louisiana teams in the top 7 seeds in 3A.
Right, and then not too far away, Gina is the number 3 seed. So we'll move on from that. We're going to go to the 2A bracket and tell us what's going on there.
In that 2A bracket here, that's a pretty good district as well with in our local area with Mangum and Sterlington and OCS and some of those other area teams have really made a strong district 2-2A here in the area. We'll start with the right-hand side of the bracket. OCS is the number 22 seed. They're going to go to Manny, a number 11 seed. That game is scheduled for today at noon. So I think we'll have to check and see if that one was able to go on or not. Rabel is the number 26 seed, just a couple of spots down from that. They're at Kinder. That game time is still to be determined. And then Sterlington, all three of those teams are got on the right side of the bracket. Sterlington, the lone team with the home game. They come in at number 15, and they will host number 18, Vinton, in the first round. So all three of those teams are in, but only one with the home game. But on the other side, the highest seed team, district champion there, Mangum, the 9 seed, they're going to be hosting Northlake Christian, and that game will be Monday at 4 o'clock. So the Lady Dragons, after a strong year with a relatively young team, gets a top 10 seed and in position to possibly get back down to Sulphur.
Okay. So four teams there in 2A, and we move on to 1A with, again, a few of our area teams, including one for the first time. So we've got Hainesville is in there. St. Fred's.
Right.
Go ahead. You go ahead.
Yeah, that's right. This is probably, you know, as far as state power, that's probably one of our stronger areas, as we have the number one and number two seed in the bracket from Northeast Louisiana, the Oak Grove Lady Tigers at number one. They'll host Guyton at 4 p.m. On Monday. Cedar Creek will host number 31 Logansport out of the Shreveport area. That'll be Monday at 5 p.m. And then staying on that side of the bracket with Cedar Creek, St. Fred's, the number 27 seed at St. Mary's of Natchitoches. St. Mary's number 6 seed, that game scheduled for 4 p.m. on Monday. And then Hainesville, you just mentioned their game time hadn't been set, but they're in at number 30. They'll head to Hanson High School, Hanson Memorial High School, the number 3 seed in the bracket there. Moving over to the other side, Arcadia is in at number 29. They'll go to number 4, Ascension Catholic. Also, LaSalle, number the 5 seed, will be at home, and they will host Westminster Christian at the number 28 seed. That game time has not been set yet. Delhi Charter, the number 25 seed at number 8, Catholic Point Coupee. That game is going to start at around 3 p.m. today down at Point Coupee. And as we said, Oak Grove at the top of the bracket at number 1. So let's see. I believe if my math is right, I believe that's 4 teams in the top 10 there in our area. So really strong 1A this year. Cedar Creek, the district champions in 1-1A, and then Oak Grove in 2-1A. They're number 1 and number 2. So that'd be a fun state championship game.
Absolutely. And the one that you missed, because you probably don't even know where it is, the one I tease as being in for the first time, the 18th seed on the right-hand side, Beekman Charter School in Morehouse Parish.
I didn't miss that one, you're right.
Yeah, they are. Yeah. This is their first year of eligibility. They are a charter school now. It used to be Beekman Junior High, and I'm very familiar with them because my wife teaches there. So Beekman Charter girls in the playoffs for the first time as the 18th seed.
That's a good story, and those that's a growing school with they have a lot of good coaches that have gone over there in the last few years, and be interested to see how they do with their first time here. So congratulations to those girls.
Okay.
Moving on to you want to go through the Class B bracket?
Absolutely.
We've got that's a kind of a shorter bracket than it's not a full 32-team bracket, so a couple of the top 6 seeds, I think it is, get first-round byes. One of those being Weston. They're going to be the 5 seed, and they'll await the winner of Doyleen and of Boyle's Charter. Shuterant, just a couple of spots below that, number 20, they're going to go to Monterey, number 13 seed. The winner of that one will await number 4, Castor, who gets a first-round bye. Quitman in at number 16. They just get underneath underneath there with the home game, the top 16 seeds there either get a bye or a home game. They get the home game against Stanley. That game will happen Tuesday at 4 o'clock. Moving over to the other side of the bracket, Simmonsburg gets the home game. It's the number 14 seed. They'll host Patrick Taylor, the number 19 seed. The winner of that game will go to number 3, O'Keel. Forrest also gets a home first-round bye, and they'll get a home game in the second round. They're the number 6 seed. They'll await the winner of Negrete and Mount Hermon. And also, moving through here, I believe that it does it for our local teams. So a couple of local teams are get first-round byes. They get a chance to rest their pitchers and work on some things before they have to play. And that can be a detriment to some. It can be very helpful to others. So I'll have to see how it works out. But, there are 3 teams in the area with first-round byes and a couple others with home games. So good showing for our Class B schools this year.
And then we've got 3 of our area teams in the Class C playoffs in Claiborne Christian, Downsville, and Summerfield.
That's right. Interesting enough, the first two you mentioned there, Claiborne Christian and Downsville, actually play each other. Claiborne Christian will host that game, I believe. That game time, according to the FSA, has not been set yet. And also Summerfield as the 15 seed there on the road. They will be at number 2. I don't know how you say that, but Maurepas, maybe?
Maurepas. Maurepas.
They're the number 2 seed. Summerfield will travel there. But Claiborne Christian is the 5 seed. He'll host number 12, Downsville. So we have 3 area teams in there. And one that's just a little bit outside of our coverage area, Georgetown, down a little bit south of us, the sixth seed, they will host number 11 Evans in the first round.
Absolutely. So lots of opportunity to bring home some titles to Northeast Louisiana in girls softball with the LHSAA. Cody, thanks again for your time. Remind everybody how they can keep up with you this week.
Just you can always follow me when I'm out at a game or any time throughout the day. It's the news on Twitter. It's CFutrill, capital TNS, or you can check out our updates constantly throughout the day on the website at thenewsstore.com.
All right, Cody, thanks again, and we'll get back with you next week.
All right, guys, have a great day.
All right, you too. Break time again. You're listening to Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talkin' Sports, here on ESPN 97.7 FM. This segment brought to you by Greg Phillips, State Farm Insurance of Ruston. We are presented by DBAT of Monroe. DBAT, for all your baseball and softball training needs. DBATmonroe.com. You want to reach out to us? Send us a message. Send us an email. The Riverport Creative Group email inbox, tsports977fm@gmail.com. Visit us on Facebook. Like us. Assurance Financial Facebook page, facebook.com/talkingsports. 977 FM. We just spoke with Cody Futrell of the New Star about the LHSAA softball playoffs, and now we're joined by Ruston High School coach Katie Giese. Coach Giese, welcome to the program.
Hi, thank you.
We just talked, like I said, we just talked with the New Star about the playoffs, and you're scheduled to play Monday. So congratulations for making it to the playoffs, and District 25A well represented.
Well, thank you very much. We are very excited, especially to have a first-round home game.
Absolutely. So Monday at 5 o'clock, everybody needs to be in Ruston to watch your team face Dutchtown.
That's right. We've got a nice little rematch from last year. We went to Dutchtown first round last year and got beat 1-0. So we're looking for a different outcome this year at our house.
Well, give me a little rundown of the season, how you've done, what your expectations are now that the playoffs are starting, and, you know, tell us about your, who you've got leading your team and all that.
We've had a great season. We're 13-11. We got rained out a little bit of some games, but, you know, our record really doesn't reflect the way we have played all year, especially considering that our district is probably the toughest district in Louisiana, top to bottom. And so it just couldn't be more proud of the way we finished our regular season. And, you know, in 5A, it really 1 through 32 is so tough. And it's ranked as best as possible, but you never know. Your ranking really doesn't mean a whole lot in the postseason. You have to show up. You have to compete. And I am excited to start a fresh postseason 0-0 and, you know, roll with it and get our way down to Sulphur.
So when was your last game? How much rest are your girls going to have?
We played Tuesday and Wednesday of this week. So we finished strong, and we'll rest. They're off today. And we practiced the last 2 days, had a light practice Thursday with the rain and everything. So they should be well rested physically and mentally, and get a little practice in tomorrow afternoon and be ready for Monday.
Well, like I said, 2-5A well represented. You've got the number 3, the number 14, and the number 15 seeds from your district in this 32-team bracket. Tell us about your pitching. What's going on there? Who's going to be? Who are we looking for to start the playoffs? And who's leading you at the plate?
Kara Goff will be on the mound for us. She's led us this year on the mound. She's done a wonderful job. It is not easy to be a pitcher in 2-5A. We're seeing some of the best hitting in the state. You know, we've got a lot of Division One athletes that we're playing against, including Kara. She's a commit to LSU, and she has really held it down, and she's been backed up by Kenzie Anderson, who is a senior, Kara's a junior. Kenzie's our starting shortstop, and so it's really tough to pull her off of the mound, off a shortstop, but if we need her, she's stepped in, and she's done a great job. And then we've had a sophomore, Macy Goff, who has really stepped in at some crucial times and mixed up our speed for us, and she's done a great job. As far as at the plate, our leadoff, Brista Curry, she's signed with Mississippi College, and she's holding down that leadoff position right now. She's a lefty, and she's a threat with speed and with power, and she's really been the heart of our team this year, especially at the plate.
Okay. What are your expectations for Monday's game? You know, you lost to them 1-0 last time. So what are you looking for Monday?
I'm looking for us to compete well. And if we show up and we, focus one pitch at a time, one inning at a time, one out at a time, I really think that we'll come out on top. Our bats have to work to keep us in the game, because I know Dutchtown's going to come out swinging, and I know we're going to give up runs. But I think offensively we are stronger than we've ever been. And as long as 1-9 can put the ball in play, then I feel like we will come out on top.
You know, I was listening to Tech softball coach Mark Montgomery earlier, and he was talking about how, as far as television ratings, the women's college World Series drew better ratings than the NCAA, the men's college World Series. Are you surprised by that?
Not at all. I mean, softball in the past 5 years has gone through the roof. We've gone down to Oklahoma to watch the World Series a few times in the past 10 years, and I went. My high school coach took me for the first time, and that was back in, like, 2004. And, you know, there was a good crowd, but it wasn't just overwhelming. And now, if you're not on the computer day one, the time the ticket sales come out, you're probably not getting tickets. And they've added more seating, and it's tough to be able just to get to go watch.
Right.
It's awesome, and it's just going to continue to grow in popularity from here on out.
Well, Coach Montgomery referenced the fact that, you know, baseball can be drawn out, but softball is constant. There's constant moving. There's a lot more action. I was with my son at D-Bat in Monroe, and he was in the batting cage, and I saw a girl there in the batting cage for softball. And she was doing some things different. You know, I've seen the kind of the running bunt, but she was, you know, practicing. She would take three steps and actually swing. So she's heading. She's a lefty. She's heading toward first base as she actually swings. The first time I'd seen that.
Yeah, we call those flappers. From the left side, they start with your feet moving, and I'm telling you, they can lay down a bunt and they can put one over the fence. So it's a lot of fun to watch, especially from that side of the plate.
All right. Well, Coach, does your team, do you have an active social media account that people can keep up with?
We do Game Changer.
Okay.
But we don't have a social media page set up for that.
Okay. All right, that's fine. Well, that just means they need to come out.
That's right. Just come out and watch it live. It's a lot more fun that way.
And, so 5 o'clock Monday.
5 o'clock Monday. So, you know, don't miss it. Unfortunately, I am to be delivering our first child on Monday.
Oh,
so
wow.
I actually will not be there.
Wow, that's tough.
It is tough, but it's exciting on both ends. And I've got
Absolutely.
Three amazing assistants that have stepped up all year long. And you know, I'm not the one out there playing. So
right.
The girls are going to take care of it, and I'm not worried one bit.
Well, Coach, congratulations on making the playoffs. Congratulations on Delivering your first child, good luck to you. We'll all be thinking about you Monday, and hopefully everyone will be thinking about you while they're sitting out in the stands watching the Lady Bearcats play Dutchtown.
Well, they're going to bring home a win, so I can get the next one.
All right. Well, Coach, thanks for coming on the program. We hope to talk to you again after a win.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
All right. We're going to take another break. It's Talking Sports here on ESPN 97.7 FM. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to the program, Talking Sports, here on ESPN 97.7 FM. It's just you and me, and I'm B. Byron Avery, your host here for Talking Sports. We are presented by DBAT of Monroe, DBAT, for all your baseball and softball training needs. Call us on the Car King hotline, 888-993-7762. Hit us up on the Pulpwood Producers text line, 888-993-7762 as well. Well, on the line with us now, Ruston High School golf coach Chris Rathburn. Going to talk a little Bearcats golf. Coach, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Byron.
All right. Well, not a great day for golf today, although I don't know any bad day for golf, really. But tell us what's going on with the Ruston High School Bearcats golf team this season.
Yes, sir. We've had a good season so far. I coach the boys and the girls. The boys so far have 3 firsts, a second, and a fourth at their 5 tournaments, and the girls have 3 firsts and 2 seconds. So it's been a successful season so far. If we could get away from the rainouts, I think we've had about 4 tournaments rained out this season. So we're just trying to get ready for district.
Yeah, definitely a lot of moisture this season, but you've definitely got some firsts and quite a few seconds, so you guys seem to be ready. Talk to me a little bit about the individual events and some of your golfers.
Yeah, so our starting five for the boys are Chandler Davison, Evan Tompkins, Seth Mitchell, Kason Mays, and Jackson Pierce. And two of the guys, Chandler Davison and Seth Mitchell, have had individual tournament wins. So how it works is you take 5 guys and you keep 4 scores, and that goes for the team total. And then they have an individual competition between everyone. So we had 2 individual winners there, which I haven't had before. So that was good to see. And then the girls, you start 3 girls. So I've got Abby Puckett, Emma White, and Chloe Woodard. And Emma's also had an individual win this season. So it's been good. We have district on Monday at Huntington Park in Shreveport. Now, that's just for the guys. The girls don't have a district. They go straight to regionals. But we have an extremely tough district between Byrd and West Monroe in our district. You can only say in one district in America that you have the U.S. Junior Amateur Champion in it, and we just happen to be lucky enough to be playing against them for Byrd. So that'll always be a challenge.
Absolutely. So tell us a little bit more. You said that is it district is for just on the boys' side?
Just on the boys' side.
Got that coming up, and then both of them have an opportunity to go to regionals.
Yeah, so we have to be. I think there's 8 teams at district for the boys, and the top 4 go to regionals. So if we go to regionals, if we make it through there, we'll play at Oakwing the next Monday, and the girls will play at Alexandria Country Club the next Wednesday. And then just like at district, they take the top 4 boys teams there and the top 4 girls teams. And if we make it through there, we'll go to state. That's the first week of May, and the boys will play at the farm down in Lafayette, and the girls play at Voshien Country Club down in Lafayette.
Now, do they do it where they'll take teams and individuals?
Yes, sir. So they take the top 4 individuals that did not qualify for a team to go down there. So that helps the smaller schools that maybe only have 1 or 2 golfers, but they're really good golfers, just so they can still participate.
Okay, so if you make it, so if your team makes it, then everyone on your team is also scored individually.
Yes, sir. So okay. It doesn't matter, say that our 5 seed did not score well that day, but our top 4 did and we made it through. All 5 will go to state. But if, say, we had a bad day, but our top guy, he ended up shooting a great score, and just the rest of the team didn't play well, the top guy can still go to state on his own.
And then at state, if your team is there, each individual is also playing for individual honors.
Yes, well, sir. And then they have a tournament of champions. I think the top six guys from each division, there's four divisions, top six guys from each division at state go to the tournament of champions, which is mid-May sometime.
Okay. All right, so lots of opportunity. Go ahead.
Yes, sir.
Okay, yeah, so lots of opportunity both for the teams on the boys and girls side and for individuals to advance and receive honors. That's what I like about golf. It's you're playing as an individual, but when you're on a team, you also help the team scores.
Yeah, high school golf is very different from, you know, professional golf. They're playing for their own, but it's a different high school and college golf are a way different element. You're definitely playing for your team and not just for yourself.
Yeah, I enjoy that. I love golf. I really enjoy playing it. Learned to play it in college, and even going out there by yourself, you're playing against your last score. You're playing against the course, and even when you have a bad day, all it takes is one good shot to get you back out there.
Absolutely, you can play it for a lifetime.
Yeah, I'm trying to get my kids involved in it now. I think I'm pushing too hard because they're pushing back. So, What do you have coming up next? I know you've already told us this, but I just want to remind everybody, what's next on the calendar for both your teams?
So district is for the boys is on Monday on the 18th. Hopefully, the weather permitting, the weather doesn't look great right now. And if we make it through there, regionals will be on the 25th down in Oak Wing for the boys and the 27th down at Alexandria Country Club for the girls. And then if we happen to make it through there, May 2nd and 3rd will be state for both girls and boys.
Now, do you have anybody that updates social media with your results as you're going along?
On my Facebook page, Chris Rathburn Golf, I try to keep posting updates on how the team does. So, yes, sir.
Okay, so a lot for Ruston High fans to cheer for on Monday. Your team will be playing and the softball team will be hosting in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, big day for Ruston High.
All right, so hopefully everybody will get out to the softball game and try to keep up with you out on the course. Coach, I really appreciate your time today. Thanks for coming on and talking Ruston High Golf.
Hey, thanks, Byron. I appreciate it.
All right, have a good weekend.
You too.
We're going to take another break. When we come back, hopefully we'll have Monroe orthopedic surgeon Dr. Douglas Brown, played football at Duke and was a surgeon in the Navy during Vietnam. So hoping to get with him. We'll try to get that going. But we'll be back after these messages. You're listening to Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talkin' Sports, here on ESPN 97.7 FM. This hour brought to you by Riverport Creative Group, riverportcreativegroup.com. Talking Sports is brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana. Give us a call on the Car King hotline, 888-993-7762. Also, the Pulpwood Producers text line, same number, 888-993-7762. Well, we're waiting for Dr. Brown, but we're going to go ahead and start talking about the New Orleans Saints 2016 schedule. I'm not a big schedule day person. I know Fox is. That's cool. I always want to see the schedule, try to find out when I can make a game, but not as big as a, you know, Yoohoo or Yahoo. Then let's go get them as far as schedule day. But looking at the schedule, they put the preseason schedule on there as well, and on the New Orleans Saints website, they ask, which preseason game are you looking forward to the most? My answer to that would be the final one. Tabor, how do you feel about the preseason?
I like watching depth battles, but other than that, whatever.
I agree. It's, you know, it's practice. It's like getting to watch practice against other teams. You know, I'm fine with it. They got to have them. And like you said, let's look at some depth battles. People need a chance to get out there and fight for a position. You do that in practice, but you can also showcase your talents a little bit when you get against another team. So the preseason games kick off August 11th. So I'm always thankful for that first game because that means football's back, and it's not far from the regular season. But they play at New England, and, of course, all these games are televised on Fox. They're all night games, 6:30 for the first one, 7 p.m. for August 20th at Houston, 7 p.m. again August 26th at home in the Dome against the Steelers. So technically, first game in the Dome of the season against Pittsburgh. You know, that's the third game, so that's typically where you see the starters get the most time to get them game ready. You know, but we'll see. And then Thursday, September 1st, the Saints host Baltimore at 7 p.m. on Fox. So then we get into the regular season, which kicks off Sunday, September the 11th for the Saints. They will be hosting the Raiders at noon. Now, the Raiders, Tabor, have picked up their game a little bit in the last couple of years. They've got a quarterback they have faith in. They're sticking with him, so that makes a difference. And David Carr? I can't remember which is which, the older one or the younger one, but Carr is their quarterback, and they'll be coming to the Dome to open the Saints season September 11th. What do you think about that game?
It'd be a good way to start the season off. I think Oakland's kind of up and coming and could compete for the West and the AFC, and Carr has shown quite a bit of progression. I think he's much better than his older brother. Of course, it helps if he doesn't get sacked 70 times a year, but that's a good way to start the season off.
Absolutely. And then on the 18th, very special birthday for someone, the Saints play at New York. They take on the Giants at noon. September 26th, they're at home against the Falcons, NFC South game. The Dirty Birds, we all hate them, and with good reason. Can't think of any other word to describe my feelings for the Falcons or the Panthers or the Buccaneers other than just good old hate. Falcons is a Sunday night game. No, it's a Monday night game, 7:30 Monday night. Maybe we can pull off some magic like we did back in 2006. Of course, we've had good results against the Falcons in the last couple years. But Monday night game for the Saints, hosting the Falcons, September 26th. Then we're Sunday, October the 2nd in San Diego. So Drew Brees gets to go back to San Diego to play the Chargers, and hopefully that'll be a win. I know Drew likes to go back out there in the off season. Still has some charity work that he does out there. So it'll be good for him to go back and hopefully beat the Chargers after they lost faith in him from that labrum injury. Then the Saints have a bye following the October 2nd. So the 9th, they have a bye. Then the 16th, they host Carolina. And with all the stuff going on last year with Cam Newton, again, as a player, I think he's great. I can't stand to watch him, but he is a good player. There's no doubting. He's immature still because you can't invite the cameras when everything's going well and avoid them in a loss. And he did that in the Super Bowl. But guess what? They made it to the Super Bowl. So they've been in the last year where the Saints want to be this year. Don't know if we'll get there. But this is a good way to start. I think this is a good start to the season, Tabor. I'm not sure about you, but the Raiders, Giants, Falcons, and Chargers are not all are teams that didn't do great last year. I mean, they had some success. The Falcons were a big disappointment last year, as were the Chargers and the Giants. What do you think about the start to the season in the first five games?
I just want a good start in divisional play.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we've got the Falcons and the Panthers in the first five games. We'll see what happens from there. Then we get on to October the 23rd. We go to Kansas City. Again, a team that wins a lot of games. They win a lot of regular season games. They've got a consistent quarterback in Smith. All of a sudden his first name leaves me. But guy that played at Utah, Alex Smith, played at Utah, was the number one draft pick by the 49ers. And then he plays for the Chiefs now. He's a consistent quarterback, not a big game quarterback, not a big time quarterback, but a consistent winning quarterback. October the 30th, the Saints return to the Dome to face Seattle, another team I can't stand. Just ever since that game where Beast Mode went off and the Saints couldn't stop him, didn't look like they even tried, I have no love for the Seattle Seahawks. 49ers host the Saints November the 6th. That's a 3:05 game. So we've got one Monday night game. We've got a Monday night game so far. Then we're looking for, well, a little bit further down. So the 49ers, then the Saints, November 13th, will host Denver. Denver will still have a strong defense, but offensively not sure what they're going to have. We'll have to see if the Kaepernick deal goes through, see if they draft somebody. But right now you're looking at Mark Sanchez as the Broncos quarterback, and I don't believe he scares anyone. Then November 17th, the Saints go to Carolina. That's a Sunday night game, 7:25 on NBC. So we've got a Monday night game and a Sunday night game so far. Actually, I apologize, that's a Thursday night game. Thursday, November 17th at Carolina. So not the Sunday night game. Trying to see. I don't think they play on Sunday night this year. So the Monday night, nope. Monday night and Thursday night games, but no Sunday night game. After the game at Carolina, Sunday, November 17th, the Saints will host the now Los Angeles Rams at noon. So 27th, the newly minted Los Angeles Rams will be coming to the Dome. Then December 4th, Detroit Lions come to the Dome. December 11th, the Saints go to Tampa Bay. First time they face them this season will be all the way down at December 11th. They'll face them twice in 3 weeks. The following week, December 18th, the Saints are at Arizona, another tough team. And then the 24th, Christmas Eve, the Saints host Tampa Bay. And then the final game of the season, the Saints will be at Atlanta, January the 1st. That's a Sunday, New Year's Day. On a Sunday this year, January the 1st, the Saints are at Atlanta. So, a good schedule. I think a winnable schedule. You've got the Raiders, the Giants, the Falcons, and the Chargers who all struggled last year. The Chiefs who are beatable, the 49ers who are beatable. Don't know what's going to happen with Denver. We've got the Rams who have struggled mightily lately. Don't know what's going to happen. They could be all jacked up because they're back in Los Angeles this year. Detroit's another team that struggles. And, of course, Tampa Bay. But with second season with Jameis Winston at quarterback, we'll just have to see what goes on with the Saints. But, I mean, with that game with the Buccaneers. But that's the season schedule for the Saints. Give us a call and give us your thoughts. Call us on the Car King Hotline, 888-993-7762, the same number for the Pulpit Producers text line, the Glassworks of West Monroe Twitter feed, at TSports977FM. Let us know what you think about the Saints' schedule. We'd be glad to discuss it with you here on Talking Sports 97.7 FM. We have... Sorry, got distracted there by a message. We do have several... other things to talk about. We're going to talk more about the schedule when we get Sean Williams on at 1:45. So we'll get a little bit deeper, get his thoughts on that. Sean Williams of ProFootballSpot.com. We're also going to talk about his second segment of the CTE and concussion issues. But give us your thoughts on the schedule for the Saints. Tabor, what are you looking forward to? Is there a specific game that you're looking forward to this year against a certain team?
Monday night against Atlanta.
Yeah, that's always a big game. My wife's a big Saints fan, so when the Saints are on at our house, it's fire, flood, or blood. Don't come bother us unless there's a fire, a flood, or someone's bleeding. She's drilled that into the kids since they were born, and of course they ignore it, but still, she's drilled it into them. But Monday night football at our house with the Saints is a big deal. We get some snacks and pile around the TV and tell the kids to leave us alone. They're still not at the age where they're really into it. My son likes to watch the games a little bit, and he likes to harass me and says he's a Falcons fan, but he knows that if he really is, he'll have to move out. But we look forward to the season. I look forward to the preseason games only because it means that the regular season is closer. If I miss a preseason game, I don't get upset by it, but I live and die by the regular season games. Now, I don't live and die by the results. They don't make my day horrible. They don't, you know, ruin my life or anything. I'm extremely disappointed when they lose, especially extremely disappointed in sometimes the effort that's perceived. But Breeze, you know, he's back. He had a good year. I think our offense is good. We've got Cooks. We've got Coleman, a couple of running backs. We've got Colby Fleener, new tight end this year. We've still got Hill. So I think our offense is fine. With Breeze at quarterback, anybody can be a hero. And he's made several players. He made Benjamin Watson a lot of money this past year. And Watson had a career year, former number one draft pick for the Patriots. And he had an outstanding season this past year, and he's gone on to another team now, and he's going to make good money because of all the passes and the touchdowns that Breeze threw him. So I'm looking forward to the season. I'm a big Saints fan. No, I'm not going to go over the Cowboys schedule. I would mention one game if they were playing the Saints, but they're not. So just not a Cowgirls fan. Used to love the Cowboys back in the day, Tabor. Not sure about you, but back in the days when it was Tom Landry and Danny White and Too Tall Jones and Hollywood Henderson, Everson Walls, I liked them. I was still a Saints fan, but I liked the Cowboys. But ever since Jera took over and fired Tom Landry over the phone on a golf course, they have been the enemy along with all NFC South teams. So I don't like them. I don't like Jera. I'm glad he's in charge because they lose more with him in charge. So I'm very appreciative to him for that. Other teams, you know, I kind of like watching the Patriots play. A lot of people hate them. You know, haters going to hate, or as my kids say, since the commercial, Creedy's going to neg. And Tom Brady's a great quarterback. We've also seen what happened when he went down. Matt Cassel went 11-4, I think, or 12-4, 11-5. So I think any quarterback can be successful. Tom Brady has taken that success and run with it. He's won 4 Super Bowls. Not going to take anything away from him, even though he was the 199th pick. So Belichick found a diamond in the rough way down in the draft. And Tabor, the Saints have done that too. The Saints had Marcus Colston, a 7th-round pick. They had Chris Ivory, Kyrie Robinson, Pierre Thomas, Lance Moore, all undrafted, all very successful with the New Orleans Saints. I'm hoping that they can find someone like that this year. Marcus Colston, still don't know how he never made a Pro Bowl, but again, as a 7th-round pick, he showed himself in his abilities and skills early in training camp that rookie season in 2006. But Sean Payton has had a lot of success at low-round picks and undrafted free agents. Let's hope that continues this year. We'll talk more about the Saints' schedule and the draft, upcoming draft with Sean Williams at the 145 segment. But we're going to go ahead and take a break right now. You're listening to Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talkin' Sports, ESPN 97.7 FM. This segment brought to you by Jeremy Hilton, Shield of Shelter Insurance in West Monroe. Well, folks, we've been talking about it for a couple of weeks. Had to postpone it last week due to getting off the air early for baseball. But today is our initial segment of What's Up. We go back and find out what's happening with former area athletes and what they've got going on today. And it's time now for our initial segment, What's Up?
What's up, Doc?
And we're going to start this week with former West Ouachita High School baseball player Jamie Johnson. Jamie, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Well, I know a little bit about what you've been doing, but tell the folks, let's see, you were a class of what, 2006 at West Ouachita?
Yes.
Okay. So from there you were drafted, was it by the Detroit Tigers?
Initially I was drafted by the Colorado Rockies out of high school.
Rockies, out of high school. Okay, so tell us what happened after that.
All right, well, the Rockies drafted me out of high school. That's when the draft and follow was still in effect. I had originally signed with LSU, and the Rockies just offered me a draft and follow, which means they put me in a junior college. They're entitled to me for up to 10 months after the draft, and they could get me at any time and, you know, bring me into their minor league system. So I ended up deciding to go that route, and they put me in Texarkana Junior College. Went there for a year, had a good year. After the end of the season, they came to me. We just didn't come to terms on the negotiation part of it. So I ended up deciding to, continue balling in college. I couldn't go anywhere in the SEC because I was not graduated from a junior college with an associate degree. So I had to look at other conferences and went to a couple of visits at a couple of different schools, and Oklahoma was the one that, I liked the most, like the recruiting coordinator, and ended up going there. Played 2 years there, 2008-2009, and in 2009, the Detroit Tigers drafted me in the seventh round, and ended up playing 6.5 years of pro ball, reaching Triple A, and then ended up retiring and back in town teaching some baseball now.
Well, that's awesome. So Colorado drafts you. What round was it they drafted you out of high school?
50th
round. So then you went to Texarkana, ended up playing 2 years at Oklahoma, and then along comes Detroit in the seventh round. So that had to make you feel good there.
Probably, yes, sir. Absolutely.
All right. So you go on, you play 6.5 seasons, you make it to AAA. Tell us, give us a couple of your memories, things that stand out to you from your career.
My first full season of my second year to play, because your first year you get drafted in June, and the season actually starts every April, so you only play the last 2 months of the season. So that's, you're happier. But my first full season, I was in Low A in Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I ended up having a really good year. I was voted player of the year for that single A team. I won the Gold Glove for best center fielder in the organization, and they did go gloves from single A all the way through Triple A, just, who's the best center fielder, right fielder, et cetera. So that was definitely, a memory. Next year, they ended up, said after that good year, they skipped me going to high. I was supposed to get a high, and they went ahead and just put me in Double A. I had another good year, set some records that year, did really good, won another gold glove, and so that was, again, a memorable year. Ended up going back to Double A for the next 2 years, and that gave me a chance to break. I broke a couple of all-time Double A records because I played there for a little over three years. I broke a couple of single season records, like walks. I had the all-time stolen base record, singles record, outfield assist record, and Double A. My first call up to Triple A, I remember I was kind of nervous. I was getting called up anywhere else. I went to Low A or Double A. I wasn't too nervous, but when I got called Triple A, felt like I was getting closer to the big boys, and I could definitely see it. The competition was much better there. So that was probably my most nerve call up, and so that was definitely memorable.
Okay, well, talk to us a little bit about some of the records. You said a single season steals record, but tell us about some of the records that you broke in Double A.
Okay, so I have process. I guess it was my last year there. I was real close to a bunch of records. I ended up breaking the all-time singles base hit record. I have the single season walk record, the single season run scored record, all-time walk and run scored record, the all-time stolen base record, the all-time outfield assist record, seven outrunners from the outfield. And then I'm in the top three. I know some of these just because they were doing an article to start the Erie Seawolves season this year. And the guy was writing an article. He was doing a bunch of the single season and all-time record holders. And he kept tagging me in the post on social media. So I ended up getting to read them. And I mean, these are, you know, cool facts. Even some of these I didn't get by number one or two. I was in top five in most of them. And, but some of those are just because I was there for a couple of years. But then the single season was one where I just happened to compile a pretty good season going top of it.
Well, I know that a lot of people say that in Double A you're just, you know, a quick call up from the majors, because a lot of people go from Double A straight to the majors. So that had to be kind of nerve wracking. You know, you're there, you're playing, you're focusing because you know you could get called up. But then when you get to Triple A, you're playing with a lot of people who have been in the major leagues, and they're there for either rehab or maybe they just got sent back down to get some more experience.
Yes. Once you get to Double A, you know you're getting closer to a shot, and especially in Triple A, you kind of have an idea. Say if an outfielder goes down, they're going to call only one outfielder up, and it might necessarily not even be the position that went down, but most time outfielders can play multiple positions. So you might know that you're, you know, say second in line or third in line, or you might be first in line if something happens. Because then I think it was 2010, I was still in Single A, but three different outfielders all at the same time went down to the majors. So all three Triple A outfielders got called up that year, and two of them never even been called up before. So that was, you know, I guess the luck of the draw. They're in the right spot at the right time. Nothing that happened when I was closer. But, you know, it's at any time, you know, that's why you always keep tabs on other teams and other players to see, you know, if somebody doing bad, if somebody gets injured. You don't ever want somebody to get hurt by any means. But, you know, it's just that thought in your mind. And in reality, if something does happen, you might get the call. So you're always aware of just everything.
And what is your record for single season steals?
I hate to be off. I'm thinking like 31. It wasn't nothing crazy. I know, you know, Billy Hampton stole 140 one year, and I'd say the average for most on the team is normally somewhere 40 to 50.
Yeah.
But having an all-time record, having, you know, a couple of those seasons where you steal, you know, 20 to 30, that'll add up as well. So
now, is the things that you set records for in the minor leagues, were those the things that you were known for in high school?
I guess somewhat. In high school, I had a good eye at the plate, but most of the time you just, you know, you swung and hit whatever you could or wanted to, really. But, you know, in pro ball, I was very more precise being a leadoff. I was trying to just get on base any way I could. Where in high school, I was trying to hit the ball. I didn't necessarily want to walk. So, I guess I'm sure if a coach could look back and I told him, "Hey, I had the most single season in career walks in Double A," he could say, "You know, I could see that in high school. Good eye." But I say it wasn't fine tuning near that much when compared to high school.
Now, I've heard a lot of people say that you were a true 5-tool player. Tell everybody what those 5 tools are, just so we're on the same page.
Speed, you know, definitely, because speed's something people can't teach. That's why a lot of people, I know there's a couple guys in this area that are getting looked at pretty heavy because, you know, they can just flat out run. Then we got average, hitting for an average base hit, hitting for power, you know, driving the ball gap to gap or home runs, defense, and then your arm. Or fielding and then arm, I guess defense would be both of them.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes I just don't. People, you know, have a couple, and it's always great to have one great tool. In my opinion, myself, I was I was solid in all of them. I didn't have that one outstanding. So, you know, probably is the reason I don't have a big league career, you know, years. But I would say you need someone with that one tool that you're just beyond excellent at.
So of the five, you have hitting, you know, you have running, catching, throwing, hitting, and hitting for power.
Yep.
Were you plus in any of them?
I had a really good eye at the plate discipline. In my opinion, I was plus at that, but that's not one thing that gets you the big leagues, unfortunately. I had a real strong arm, but again, you know, they're not calling a guy up because he walks a lot and can throw really hard. So, you know, you'd rather have the pure speed or maybe being out to it. I mean, I had a good defense, but you know, to be called up on defense alone, you need to be more of a shortstop, second base, and maybe a catcher. But that defense is very, you know, much needed.
Right.
But the rest, yeah. So just when it comes down to that level of professional, I just say I was, you know, that solid guy. You know, I hit 270, 280 every year. Just, you know, good numbers always kept me in the leadoff spot. But I never hit that 310 that would, you know, pop some people's eyes and go, man, let's get this guy up somewhere.
Right. Well, Jamie Johnson, class of 2006, West Ouachita High School, drafted by the Colorado Rockies, went to Texarkana Junior College, played 2 years at the University of Oklahoma, drafted again in the seventh round, this time by the Detroit Tigers, played 6.5 years of pro ball, made it to AAA, and tell us what's going on now with you. I know that a lot of area schools can benefit from you now.
I was actually in my sixth year, finished up my sixth year of ball, and I had 1 year left in my contract, and two gentlemen from this area gave me a phone call. I had about 2 months left in my season, and they said, hey, we're looking at buying into this franchise and opening up a baseball academy in Monroe, and we were wondering if you'd be interested in buying in with us and general managing it. So I was, you know, they said, you know, you think about it a little bit. We have a couple people on our list, but you know, you're who we would like to have. So I had like 2 months left in the season, so I kind of got to think about it each day. And I really think everything happens for a reason. It was great timing on their part because I could look out after every game and say, hey, is it baseball or am I ready to give it up? On every bus trip, I'm going, man, this is a long bus trip. Do I want to play baseball or do I want to give it up? And but after the season, I might not have been able to weigh it out so evenly. But I ended up coming home and told them that I'd love to buy in with do that, and I would, worst case, open up as a general manager, get everything going, you know, help out any way I could. And if it just wasn't what I wanted, I could report back to spring training come March, and, you know, everything can go from there. But after we opened late October, I knew after about 1 month that this is what I wanted to do. You know, the stability of having something here, being home, because in all reality, I could go back to ball and they could just say, hey, we signed a player. We're gonna touch you. And now I just turned down an awesome opportunity with a job locally at a great place to go back to baseball, and they cut me. So I could have been out of everything. So the options, when I really weighed them out, it's kind of a no-brainer. And so we opened DBAT, and you know, it's been a blessing ever since. It's been going really well so far. You know, hope to continue the success we've had. And you know, love every minute of my job. People always ask me, do you miss ball? And so I'm doing baseball. I only played about 3 hours a day and only 6 months out of the year. Now I got baseball about 10 hours a day and year-round. So I still don't miss ball at all. I'm probably doing more now than I ever have.
Well, it's an awesome facility. You've got batting cages, pitching machines. You've got cages where you can go in and work individually with players. Individuals can rent those cages and throw their own BP, work on fielding, work on catching, all types of things. Plus, you've got apparel, you've got bats and gloves. So a lot going on there at DBAT in Monroe. Tell us where you're located and give us a phone number.
We're located at 2511 Washington Street in Monroe. It's close to the four-way stop on Louisville with Walmart, GameStop, Hibbett Sports. We're right behind there. The phone number is 318-699-DBAT or 3228. And said anybody can give us a call at any time, and we'll be happy to facilitate anybody.
And you're also a partner on this program. People can find out more going to dbatmonroe.com. Jamie, I really appreciate you being on the program. Thanks for all you do with our area high school baseball players and teams. I know you've got opportunities for teams to contact you and do some work. You've got opportunities for individuals. You hold camps, a lot of training sessions, but dbatmonroe.com is where people can find out more.
Yes, sir.
All right, well, that's our initial segment of What's Up, our own version of Where Are They Now? And Jamie Johnson, former West Ouachita High School player, class of 2006, thank you so much for being our first guest on What's Up.
Very well. Thanks for having me.
All right, you have a great afternoon. We'll be back with more Talking Sports here on ESPN 97.7 FM. Welcome back to the program, Talking Sports here on ESPN 97.7 FM. This hour brought to you by the Riverport Creative Group, riverportcreativegroup.com. Talking Sports brought to you by Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana. Thanks again to Jamie Johnson for being our initial guest on the first segment of What's Up. Next week, you can look forward to hearing from former Cedar Creek football player and former Northeast Louisiana University player Tag Rome. He'll be joining us on our second segment of What's Up. Of course, Tag this week been in the Bahamas all week and headed today to Key Biscayne, Florida, so it may take him a while to recover from that little getaway. But on the phone now, we've got Tommy Smith, Charles T. Smith, Jr., Director of Jackson Parish Parks and Recreation. Tommy, thanks for joining the program.
Glad to be with you today, Byron.
Well, we know that you've got a lot going on in Jackson Parish. I heard you when you were on the Nick Brown show before, but before we get into any of that, you had a special Monday last week. Tell us about that.
Yeah, man, I had the chance of a lifetime. I got a chance to go down to Augusta, Georgia, and experience the Monday's practice round, me and my wife, and it was awesome.
Is it as awesome as they say it is?
Yeah, the TV and pictures just don't do it justice. I know you've been to places where you experience it, you take pictures, and you get back home and you look at the pictures, and it's just not the same. It's just unbelievable. I've been waiting a long time to go, and I've been a big fan of golf fan and the Masters, and got a chance to go, and it was awesome.
And tell us who you got to follow. I know you got to see a hole in one while you were there.
I did. My wife and I pretty much walked around the course for a couple hours just to see the course itself. Ended up settling down on 16 on the par 3, and hadn't been there 10 minutes. And Rory McIlroy came up to the tee and holed out. And there was probably about 1,000 people around on the hole and around the green. And it was words cannot describe it. It was unbelievable.
I wish I could have been there. More importantly, or more to the point, I wish it could have been me taking that swing. But I'm glad you got to go. I'm glad you got to enjoy that. And we let's get to what's going on in Jackson Parish now. We know that you've got summer league baseball and softball come up on those fields, but tell us a little bit about what many people may not know about is that Jackson Parish Parks and Recreation bought Advanced Country Club, so you guys have a golf course now.
Yeah, so that's correct. About 2.5 years ago, I've been the director now for 3 years, but August of, I guess that makes it 13, the recreation department was able to purchase the Advanced Country Club, 9-hole golf course, just down the road from the mill in Hodge, if you're familiar with Jackson Parish. But we've got 195 acres, 9-hole course, 35-acre lake that the course plays around, and we've been able to upgrade the facility and turn it into the best golf course that we can with the resources that we have. And we've made some great strides, and it's open to the public. It's open every day of the week, and we invite anybody that wants to come play around the golf, come play with us.
And you have a special deal for those under the age of 18, if I remember correctly.
Yes, we do. We tried to promote kids coming out and playing golf we do not charge a fee for any kids 18 and under. So we're trying to get the younger group out there playing. We do require if they're 10 or younger, they're accompanied with an adult. But other than that, we want kids out there playing golf.
And is that with a cart or do they have to walk?
No, they have to walk. And then if they choose to rent a cart, they have to be 16 or older to rent a cart, or if they have an adult with them, they will do that. But that's strictly walkers. So we're trying to promote those kids out there.
Well, and to me, that's awesome. I want people to know about that because, you know, anybody that owns a golf course, one of their goals should be to promote the game to the younger age. And what better way, you know, look, you got a dad who's got a 12-year-old that he wants to play golf. You know, not everybody can just pack up and go to the country club and play golf. But if I go to Advance, I pay for myself, and my kid now gets to play for free. So
that's
tell
correct.
Me a little bit about what went into the thinking on that and how y'all decided on that.
Well, it was kind of more or less an established policy that that the course had before we actually acquired it, and we liked it. When I was hired, I asked my board, a recreation board that sees over that hired me, you know, what's the main philosophy? What do you want out of the golf course? Are we trying to make money, or are we trying to provide a service for the people of Jackson Parish and the surrounding parishes? And they said, well, we'd like to do both, but more importantly, we're trying to provide a service. And so that was kind of the main thinking of it as well. And so it's been real successful. We've got a few kids coming out, but we're always trying to get more kids coming out and to participate to enjoy the great game of golf.
And how? Give us the phone number out to the golf course so people can call and find out when's a good time.
Sure. Telephone number is 259-7247. And we open the course. Somebody's usually there about 7 o'clock every morning, and we pretty much close about dark. We do have carts available for the ones that want to rent a cart. And we have driving range as well. During the week, we kind of think our fees are somewhat reasonable. If you and I were to go and play and split a cart for 18 holes, it would cost us each $25. And then a few little things to snack on as well. But we try to make it as reasonable as we can. On the weekends, it goes up just a little bit on the fee, but not too much. And I encourage anybody to come out. If you haven't been out in a while, if you haven't been out to the golf course anytime soon, we've really made some great strides in the last couple of years to improve the facility.
And then you've got summer ball coming up. Tell us briefly about how many teams you'll have total and what those age groups are. And then I know a lot of people are interested to hear about your fields.
Yes, we've got my ball complex. Jackson Parish Sports Complex is located on Highway 4. Between Weston and Jonesboro, about 3 miles from Jonesboro. We've got 7 fields total. Five of those 7 fields have artificial turf on the infields. Our 4 main fields, we play the majority of our kids league on that. We actually started this past week. It rained out on Monday, but we played Tuesday. And I have, I guess, total kids 13 and under. Just under 600 kids playing. We have 53 teams total, and that starts with T-ball up to 13-year-olds, boys and girls. Unique situation right now, our girls are still affiliated with Little League, and our boys baseball are affiliated with Dixie Youth. We made that change this past year for the boys. We felt it had several benefits to help our program out. So that's kind of where we are. Look forward to a good season if we can ever get the rain to stop, but we do have the advantage of the turf field, because when some places can't play because of the amount of rain that they get, we can take a little bit more and still get some baseball in on those fields. Really nice facility. It's coming. We're proud of it, and we're very pleased with how things are going.
So over 600 kids in Jackson Parish signed up to play, and what's the fee for each one of them?
We charge $35 per kid to play ball. We part of the benefit of our situation is that we have a local parish-wide property tax that funds our program, and therefore we're able to that tax money supplements the fees. That's why we're able to keep our fees very reasonable for our boys and girls as they play. and we're developing the complex right now. We're hoping to start construction within the next couple of months on a rodeo arena, very similar to the one that that's in Lincoln Parish. So we're excited about that. Got some other things on the back burner, but we're continuing to grow our program, trying to get as versatile as we can. We know that a lot of kids around here play baseball and softball, but there's a lot of kids that play some other things as well, and we're just trying really hard to make it as a well-rounded complex as we can.
So baseball, softball, soon to have rodeo, and we have golf.
And we have golf, yes, sir.
All supported by the citizens of Jackson Parish with a tax. Funny how that works when you want kids to benefit and have those opportunities, the citizens reach out and support. Tommy, I really appreciate you coming on today, talking briefly about Jackson Parish and the sports programs there. Look forward to talking to you again maybe later in the summer.
Hey, man, I appreciate you. Anytime.
All right, have a good day. We're going to be back. When we come back, Sean Williams will join us from ProFootballSpot.com. More to come. ESPN 97.7.
Okay. Hey, I'm trying to be calm.
Welcome back to the program, Talking Sports, here on ESPN 97.7 FM. We're in the home stretch, and we welcome into the program Sean Williams, ProFootballSpot.com. Sean, welcome.
How are you, Byron? I'm digging that intro, man.
I'm telling you, there's nothing like being at a game in the dome when the Saints score and they crank that music up right there.
Everybody, oh, that is so true. That's awesome.
It is. That place gets to rocking. It's so loud, and everybody's dancing to, you know, let's get crunk. So I don't even know what it means, but, hey, it's awesome.
It works. That's all that matters.
Absolutely. Well, we're running a little bit behind today. Sorry about that. But let's get into part two of your series on CTE and the prices of success.
Okay.
Tell us about it, and you know, the who you worked with, and what this part focuses on.
Okay, this is the second piece in a series done by Jack Kopansky, who is a Cleveland Browns writer, and myself. And just real briefly, we saw the movie Concussion, and we were both really intrigued with the incredibly high rate that not only concussions but also ACL and MCL injuries were occurring in the league. So we wanted to kind of bring some knowledge to those injuries, and we began researching for the project in, I want to say, the first week of January. And we've gone through an introduction, the piece that you're talking of right now about the head injuries and concussions, and we've also done one on knee injuries as well so far.
Okay. And a lot of research went into this. Tell us a little bit about who you guys talked with and how you gathered your information.
Okay. Locally, I was fortunate enough to get to interview Dr. Saul Graves at the Northeast Orthopedic and Sports Medicine Clinic. He was really a great guy and very knowledgeable, and we're so glad that he was able to find the time to help us out on that. As far as Jack, he interviewed several doctors and athletic directors and coaches and what have you over in the Cleveland area as well.
Okay. So that all has come together for this series, The Price of Success, and every team deals with it. There's even a 30 for 30 coming out about O.J. Simpson, where the doctor, the actual doctor from the movie Concussion, says that a lot of O.J. Simpson's issues can be blamed on CTE.
I wouldn't be surprised at all, to be absolutely honest with you. And one of the things that we, Jack and I, had discussed in this process was, with all of the information that's coming to light now, it would be interesting to know exactly how many former players have been unintentionally misdiagnosed because they simply didn't have the knowledge then of the CTE and the damage done. How many people were thought of having, the symptoms are so similar to Alzheimer's and dementia patients with CTE. It would be an interesting study to see exactly if there would be any way possible to see exactly how many people that has actually happened to.
Right. Okay, now let's move to the draft. Draft coming up in 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks now, actually. We covered the Saints' schedule real quick earlier in the program. I know that I look forward to the first preseason game only because it means the regular season is closer and football is back. I look forward to my favorite preseason game is the last one because preseason's over. And then I think that our first four games are winnable. We've got the Raiders at home, we're at the Giants, the Falcons at home, and then we're at the Chargers. So all four of those teams struggled last year. If you look, probably of those four teams, the one on the rise is the Raiders, but I still think they're gettable. What do you think about those first four games?
I agree completely. The Raiders are definitely not going to be a pushover by any means. I like where Derek Carr has that team headed. And on the other side of the ball, the draft pick, their first-round draft pick last year, Khalil Mack, he's going to be a star in this league for years to come. So I think it will be a really interesting opening day matchup.
Okay, and then go ahead.
Be a good gauge of exactly where this team is coming out of the preseason.
We host the Panthers in week four. That's big because they're the Panthers, and I can't stand them. we go to Kansas City, host Seattle, go to the 49ers, and host the Broncos on November 13th. And the Broncos are a team just really unknown right now. And just because, you know, Peyton Manning retired and Brock Osweiler left to go to the Texans. So right now, today, their main guy is Mark Sanchez.
That's a scary thought. But
yeah, it really is.
With that defense, Byron, to be completely honest with you, they could put the water boy at quarterback and tell him just don't throw an interception and don't fumble. And they're still going to win games just because of how great that defense is. And they didn't really lose a whole lot from it, as I understand it.
Right. Then another notable game, the 27th of November, the Saints host the newly minted Los Angeles Rams. So a lot of hype around that team at the beginning of the season. My guess is they're going to play well at the beginning, but this is further down. So hopefully the hype will have worn off and they'll be the Rams.
Sure. I'm really interested to see how this huge trade that took place the other day, how this works out for them. Because my initial reaction was how eerily similar that trade seemed to be to the one Ditka made to make a play on Ricky Williams back several years ago, and my immediate response to Ditka's move, as well as what the Rams did the other day, well, that coach is now coaching for his job.
Right. Of course, Ditka gave away the franchise, gave away five draft picks. At least the Rams got a couple of back. You know, they get the pick and a couple of draft picks for several draft picks. Real quick, we're running out of time. Where do the Saints need to go first round of the draft?
Gotta go defense. edge rusher, possibly secondary help, but if it were me pulling the trigger, it would absolutely, no doubt, it would have to be a pass rusher.
Absolutely. Sean, sorry for the short time today. Thanks for coming on the program as always. You go and have a great weekend.
Same to you, Byron. Thanks for having me on, man. I always enjoy hanging out with you.
All right, brother. Well, that's it for Talking Sports this week. Come back next week, same time, same station, ESPN 97.7 FM. Thanks to our broadcast partners, Anytime Fitness of Monroe, West Monroe, and Calhoun, and Anytime Fitness of Ruston and Texarkana, Jeannie Eubanks, Allstate Insurance, in Ruston and Minden, DBAT of Monroe, Katie's of Monroe, Greg Phillips State Farm Insurance, Car King, Pulpwood Producers, Glassworks of West Monroe, Jeremy Hilton Shield of Shelter Insurance in West Monroe, and the Riverport Creative Group email inbox, and our Assurance Financial Facebook page. Thanks to John Tabor. How about that? John Tabor on the ones and twos. Couldn't do it without you, brother. We'll see you next week. ESPN 97.7 FM, Talking Sports.
Thanks for listening to the best of Talking Sports with Byron. To listen to the show live, tune in every Saturday to ESPN977.com or subscribe to the show in iTunes, on Stitcher, or at RedPeachSports.com.